Elliott. Hello.
Okay. Can you hear me on the phone?
I can. Yes, mine is a cell phone. Do you want to call back?
Why are you using a cell phone? We're getting a bad connection.
Yes, and that's...
Do you have access to a landline?
I do. You want to call me on that number?
You got to call in from the landline?
Oh.
Okay. Give us the number.
Okay, that would be 561-245-8588. Okay, I'll hang up now. Ken? Kevin? On my cell, quick, come here. Candace? Ken? Come on. Kevin Hall? Do you have the quartz number? Did I give him the right number? Hello, this is Elliott. Yes. Okay. Elliott Bernstein, pro se. Elliott Bernstein. Lisa and Jill are there.
Make sure that you use the landline in the future. Appearing by phone is an accommodation. It's not a right. And it's incumbent upon you to make sure that you're using equipment that's going to be useful for us. Otherwise, I'll have to...
Yes, sir.
It's right now. I know there's been a motion to withdraw. But I guess I have to know whether or not a new attorney is going to be appearing on behalf of...
I discussed everything with them in terms of having to either file a pro se appearance or get a substitute attorney.
All right, could you find the microphone and let me know what your plans are?
I just want to go pro se.
You're going to go pro se?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's your intention, ma'am? You have to talk, or you can't take on a nod.
Pro se, thank you.
Okay. Do you know the difficulty of proceeding pro se? Stay by the microphone, so I'm going to ask you some questions. Do you know the difficulties of appearing pro se?
I believe so.
Okay. Have you made any efforts to get another attorney?
I don't want another attorney.
Okay.
It's very costly, and I don't...
You realize that if you appear pro se, I'm not allowed to take on any role as an advocate for you. So if you don't know the rules, I'm not able to help you. And you can compromise your position in a pro se situation if you don't know what the rules are. That's why people generally have attorneys.
and I have to be fair to all the sides and impartial to all parties in the case. And even though one party might be at a disadvantage because they don't understand the law or how the law applies to the facts, I can't step out of that impartial role. So by not having an attorney, you can put yourself at a disadvantage. You understand that?
Yeah, and a disadvantage you mean by what?
Not understanding what the rules are. If this case went to trial, would you know how to proceed at the trial? Would you know how to answer and ask questions consistent with the federal rules of evidence? Know how to make objections? Know how to litigate a motion according to the rules of procedure?
So if it goes to trial, I'll have a choice of getting a lawyer if I want then?
No.
No.
It would be too late for that person to get up to speed. That's why you need to think about it now. It is a very, very difficult thing to try to do something pro se. Now, some people have to do it because they don't have any choice. And that's very, very, very difficult. In criminal cases, you realize that it's such a disadvantage that the Constitution requires a free attorney for everybody. But that's not what happens in civil cases. So, I want you to think very hard about your decision to go pro se. I'm going to allow it for now, but I'm giving you advice right now.
Okay.
That is generally not a good idea.
Okay.
So think about it hard, and we're going to have we'll have another court appearance. And there are some attorneys that have different fee arrangements. Some attorneys are more expensive than others. Some attorneys work for free unless they win, which is called a contingency fee. Other attorneys work for free because pro bono. There's also the Pro Se Litigant Assistance Program, where you can get advice from an attorney who's not your attorney, but is a lawyer, and you can talk about your case with them, and we actually have that program here. In the court order that I'm going to enter today, I'm going to put a lot of information about pro se litigants in there, so you need to look at that, because that'll be part of your decision-making process, okay?
Okay.
Do you have any questions for me, but either one of you? Okay.
So if this goes to trial, does that mean that we would have to be there?
Yeah, and you would have to handle your own case.
Okay.
That's very difficult, isn't it? I mean, you can imagine trying to try a case if you're not an attorney.
And is this going to trial?
I don't know.
Oh, we don't know.
I don't know yet.
Can we make the decision whether we want to go pro se or have an attorney once we know if it goes to
trial? You know what? I'm going to give you 30 days to figure out whether or not you want to go pro se. I'm going to have another court appearance, and then you should think about it. Look at the information. In fact, when we're done with the court appearance, my courtroom deputy is going to give you some phone numbers and some information about pro se stuff. It'll be in the minute order, ultimately. And you also, if you have both have emails, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to give you a form so that you can receive court orders and the motions in the case directly to your email. Because technically, I'm going to be granting the motion to withdraw as counsel, and you're technically going to be pro se between now and the next court date. And that allows you to see what's happening on the docket, which is all the filing for the case. So you're going to have that information. And then on the next court appearance, I'm going to ask you about what your plans are, okay? Yeah, you're going to have to file appearances too. A lot of that's administrative, but it's going to be in the minute order, and then once we're done with the appearance, my courtroom deputy is going to give you some information, a form to fill out that you have to take the clerk's office so that you're actually on the docket. There's another form to tell our computer system while you email it so you can receive information. There's a lot of stuff that you're going to get a little back and we'll give you. Okay. All right. I was going to ask the parties what the status of the case beyond this issue. Obviously, this might change some of the things. I guess the first thing is the motion of withdrawal is granted. You're still staying on as counsel for other parties, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What's the status of the case other than our particular issue?
If any question is, we wanted to consider whether clients are bringing in a motion to the judge to be appropriate if you would like to.
Okay. Does anyone else want to file a dispositive motion?
Yes,
Did they say they were going to file a summary judgment?
Yes.
Well, then I'm going to move for Rule 11 sanctions, because there's no set of facts on the existing record.
If you file a motion for Rule 11 sanctions on a motion you haven't seen, I'm going to impose sanctions for you filing that motion. So why don't you just calm down a little bit?
Okay.
Somebody with a frivolous Rule 11 motion, all right?
Okay.
So why don't you just read what they file, and then you decide what you need to do based on the facts and the law. How long do you need to file a summary judgment motion, counsel?
We can file it in 30 days, rather.
All right. Lori, give me a date, 30 days out for status. It's going to be, you guys are both going to have to appear on the next court date, okay? Because we're going to talk to you about your pro se representation decision. And then, you could have that motion, and then let's see what the motion is, and then hang on a second. Let's see what the motion is, and then if I need to set a briefing schedule, I can do that. Okay, what did you need to say, counsel?
I will likely file a motion for summary judgment as to Elliot's counterclaims, boss claims, and
all right. How about anyone who wants to file a summary judgment motion has 30 days to do it. We'll see what they are at the next court date, because I'm going to set an appearance one day after those motions are filed. So give me 30 days for the motion and 31 days for the court appearance, Gloria. Okay.
Your Honor.
That's fine.
Oh.
Is that enough time, counsel? May 11th?
I'd like more, actually. I'd like 45.
All right. Well, give me 45 days on the motion and 46 and see if that puts us in the right spot. I'm booked solid on trial this summer. Is that good for the parties to file? Anyone who wants to file a dispositive motion? Okay.
Your Honor.
Hang on one second. Let me set the schedule and then I'll address whatever concern he has. Okay.
And Thursday, May 6th at 9:45.
All right. Is that good for status for everybody?
Yes.
I say yes or no. Okay. All right, so we're set for status on May 26th at 9:45. At that point, I'll set a briefing schedule on whatever has been filed. Anyone who wants to file a dispositive motion has to do it by May 25th, and then we're going to discuss the pro se representation issue. Okay, sir, now's your time. What did you want to tell me?
I intended to file a motion for discovery and an amended complaint in conformity with, of course, all your local rules in addressing your court orders and concerns.
Discovery is closed, and if you seek leave to file an amended complaint, you need to file a motion getting, at this point in the proceedings, seeking permission and showing cause why you're permitted to, because you're, at this point, you don't have a right to amend as of right. There are a lot of circumstances where I can permit an amendment, but you have to make the appropriate predicate findings. So if you want to file a motion to amend your complaint, how long would you need to do that?
Probably 15 days.
How many?
15.
15 days? All right, good. Give me a date about 15 days out for the filing of a motion to file an amended complaint.
And should I attach a copy of it for your review?
You should just file it like any other motion, sir.
Okay.
If you file it on the docket, then I actually get it, and so do the other parties, and then people can file responses, and then court can rule once it's fully briefed.
Okay.
Friday, April 29th.
Okay. If you want to file a motion for amended complaint, you have to have it on file by that date, and you have to notice it up like you would any other motion. So take a look at the local rules and my standing orders and make sure you're in compliance, okay?
And when should I notice it up for?
I'm just telling you the drop-dead date for filing it, and then you need to notice it consistent with my local rules, and it depends on when you file it, because you have to look at there's certain notice requirements. So you go ahead and look at my standing orders and the local rules and figure out what day you would need to notice it and still comply with the deadline for filing, okay?
Okay, yes, sir.
All right. Anything else the court needs to address today?
Well, Your Honor, I do want to just bring up the fact that an order you entered within the last three or four court dates denied his last class.
I know.
The other thing was, we were going to discuss what was pending in Florida. I didn't know if you wanted to.
Yeah, I do need an update on that. Well, thank you, counsel. It's on my list, my to-do list. What's the current status of the Florida proceedings?
Oh, Your Honor, one last thing. Could I get 30 days?
Hey,
Okay, sorry.
Everyone's going to get a chance. I'll get back to you in a second. Let counsel finish his thought.
Okay.
Florida, there is probate litigation involving testamentary trusts and wills by both Simon and Shirley Burns. The only party that intervened in the Illinois insurance litigation represented by counsel is Peter Simon. And really small practice that he's pending as much relevant. The Florida litigation on December 21st, judge presiding over the probate litigation entered an order and preparing evidence arguing all parties presented. He did the following finding. Court held that all of the following testamentary documents amendment and athletic valid and enforceable.
We can't hear him.
The Shirley Bernstein Trust Agreement, dated May 20th, 2008. The First Amendment to the Shirley Bernstein Trust Agreement, dated November 18th, 2008.
Slow down, counsel.
The will of Simon L. Bernstein, dated July 25th, 2012. Simon Bernstein amended and restated trust agreement, dated July 25th, 2012. And the will of Shirley Bernstein, dated May 20th, 2008. And just to clarify, those are not the trusts that are at issue in here, which is a separate insurance trust.
Okay.
It was also held that Ted Bernstein had not participated in any wrongdoing, that he was a valid trustee. And the upshot is that the beneficiaries of the Simon Bernstein and Shirley Bernstein trusts, and those trusts are the beneficiaries of their estates, are 10 grandchildren and none of the 5 children. Bill and Lisa are 2 of the 5 children. I represent 2 of the other children, Ted and Pamela, and Elliot is the 5th child. Since Elliot does not have standing to represent himself because he's not a beneficiary, his only role was on behalf of his minor children. Recently, the court appointed a guardian on behalf of his minor children. So Elliot has no standing at all in Florida, which is going to be part of the basis of my summary judgment motion here. Also, I think just yesterday they ordered that all parties down in Florida participate in a global mediation. So I think that takes it to May 31st.
The global mediation is set for a particular date? What is that?
No, it's not. They have to agree and have it done within 45 days of yesterday, I believe.
All right, so a global mediation has to be completed or set within 45 days? Okay, within 45 days. Okay.
Your Honor.
All right, hang a second. Anything else we have of counsel here? You need to tell me, ladies, do you have any questions or anything you need to tell me? Okay, Arthur, what was your question?
Oh, okay. As far as what they just said, I have extensive proof of continuing fraud on the court and by the court in Florida, and have sufficient evidence to show no decisions out of Florida should have any res judicata or collateral estoppel effect.
Well, if that argument is made in a summary judgment motion, you will have an opportunity to file a brief in response, and you'll be able to lay out whatever arguments you have in that regard. That's not currently before the court. He's just giving me a status of his characterization of the proceedings.
Okay.
At this point, what happened in those proceedings is not really in front of me. It's just more of a scheduling issue right now. So is there anything else you need to let me know?
Yes. Could I get 30 days? Because my wife just told me we got a bunch of things here we have to deal with the courts here. So if I could get 30 days to file my amended, that would be great.
No, you have until May 29th to file a motion to file an amended complaint. April 20, is it 28th or 29th? All right, let me repeat myself because I misspoke. April 29th is when you have to file your motion to file an amended complaint. And if you don't have the basis for it, that motion will be denied. If you have a basis for it, the motion will be granted. Okay?
Okay, great.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else Court needs to address today?
No, sir.
All right, thank you, everybody. If you could hang out for a little bit and talk to my courtroom deputy, she's going to give you some information.
Thank you, sir.